Arrowrock has a long and rich history, so I reached out to the executive director of the Friends of Arrowrock, Sandy Selby. Sandy, thanks for taking some time to visit this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Can you give us some background of Arrowrock and how it came to be established? What was the draw that folks settled there in the first place?
Well, Arrowrock was located right on the Missouri River. Now, if you visit Arrowrock today, you're going to realize that there's no river here. The river shifted away really early in the 1900s, but during the 1800s, it was a very busy river port, and there was a ferry that ran from Franklin, Missouri, which really no longer exists. It was destroying the flood, but that ferry brought people to Arrowrock, and from Arrowrock, they headed straight down the Santa Fe Trail, and so the Santa Fe Trail still runs essentially down Main Street of Arrowrock. So we're right at the beginning of the Santa Fe Trail. We were very important for early settlers heading west, and then, of course, for the river traffic.
So when the river shifted, was that a big, I don't want to say death knell, but did it affect the town? I would think it affected the town profoundly when the river shifted.
Well, it did. And there were several things that affected the town profoundly. At its height, Arrowrock had about 1,000 people here, and it was a very busy center of politics and agriculture. But a lot of the agriculture based in Arrowrock was hemp production to make rope for cotton bales that supplied the South. Well, so Arrowrock aligned itself with the South during the Civil War. So the outcome of the Civil War clearly affected Arrowrock's economic trade. We also had the river shifting, and we also had a couple of major fires that took out big parts of the business district. And so all those things combined really set in motion the decline of the town.
Now, when I've read my Missouri Civil War history, politically, Arrowrock was a center of power, if not the center of power, in the middle part of the 19th century. How did that come to pass?
It was. Well, I think because so much was happening right here in Arrowrock, and we had three governors who came from the Arrowrock area. So it really was a very powerful piece of Missouri at the time. But then, like I said, the aligning itself with the South, kind of the whole Little Dixie region, created a problem when the South lost the war. The town was in serious decline in the early 1900s, and really, like so many other small towns, was really about to fade into obscurity. But a group of women from the Daughters of the American Revolution decided that the J. Houston Tavern was something that should be saved, and so they lobbied the legislature to purchase that building. They fixed it up. They ran it as a restaurant and a hotel. And their work so inspired the state that they established a state park here in Arrowrock, and I believe it was the first state park. So it was those ladies, the women of Arrowrock, who made a huge difference to what this town has become and really set in motion everything that happened after.
One cannot talk about Arrowrock, Missouri much without mentioning George Caleb Bingham. Can you give us an overview of his time spent there?
George Caleb Bingham was a great American painter, and in fact, the Friends of Arrowrock are producing an hour-long documentary that is filming here this weekend. But it is he really did scenes of the river. He also did political scenes. He was a really political guy, so he was part of that whole political movement that was happening right around Arrowrock during the 1800s. And when he passed away, his paintings were kind of just forgotten, and he was lost to time. But then when people started paying attention to the regionalist paintings like Benton, then Bingham came back into vogue, and now he is regarded as one of the greatest American painters that ever was. So he had a home here. He lived here with his first wife. He couldn't make a great living here because even then Arrowrock was a little off the beaten path. So he was a portrait painter, and he did a lot of work in Columbia and Kansas City and St. Louis, and he traveled even to worldwide to do some of his work and get some of his inspiration. But he always called Arrowrock his home.
That's the voice of Sandy Selby. She's the executive director of the Friends of Arrowrock. In 2016, Sandy, what are the Friends working on?
Well, as I mentioned, we have that that documentary. It's The Life and Times of George Caleb Bingham. We are the executive producer of that documentary, and we have high hopes of seeing that on PBS or another network in 2017. We've got a series that we do every first Saturday of the month, and so usually history or the natural state of things or cultural history or a lot of different topics that we'll touch on. Every first Saturday we have a one-hour lecture, and that those are always free and open to the public. We have a school program that is very popular. We bring in hundreds of students from the region who come to Arrow Rock to experience life and school and the way it would have been lived in the 1800s. So it's really fun for us to see children writing with a quill pen and learning in a log cabin schoolhouse, learning what the chores would have been like for an 8 or 9 year old child in the 1800s versus what they do today. And it's kind of an eye-opening experience, but they really remember. That's a history lesson that they'll carry with them for the rest of their lives. That there's a lot of adults out there who remember their day in Arrow Rock, their school day in Arrow Rock.
If you have not been to Arrow Rock, it's a significant experience because it's like a place out of time. There are no neon signs. There are no chains that I'm aware of. If they are, they're well hidden in this town of 56. One of the main things that the Friends of Arrow Rock also does is you own and care for 13 historic structures in what is a National Historic Landmark Village.
Exactly. You know, we're really proud of this town because it is authentic. You go to a lot of these historic villages, well, they're recreations, and they're beautiful, but they're not real. And everything that you see in Arrow Rock is a real building. It's a real place. Our J. Houston Tavern, which that's owned by the state of Missouri, a beautiful example of that architecture. The Friends of Arrow Rock owns two historic lodge buildings that were built in the 1860s, the Oddfellows Lodge and the Masonic Lodge. They're right across the street from each other. They're kind of twin buildings. It's the only example of that that we know of in the United States. We also have the original gun shop for a gunsmith named John Seitz and his home, which is right next door. And that's the only example of that we know of in the country of an original gunsmith shop and his home on the same tract of land.
Sandy, when can individuals access these properties? When are tours available?
We offer village tours every weekend during the month of May, and then every day of the week from July through September. And we encourage people to come in. We will give them a tour of the village, and we don't take them everywhere. We have a great map, though, of the village and a lot of self-guided opportunities. It is a great town, even if you just want to come and walk around and take in, you know, the environment, the beautiful architecture, the beautiful natural surroundings. It's just kind of an amazing place to be.
Sandy, if I was sitting in Columbia and thinking I want to make the trip to Arrow Rock, how does one get there?
You would need to head down I-70. You're going to go past Boonville, just a few miles. And then you'll turn north. You'll see a sign for Arrow Rock. It's about 13 miles off of I-70 to the north.
In Saline County?
In Saline County, just right over the Cooper County line.
That's Sandy Selby. She's the executive director of the Friends of Arrow Rock. She'll be busy this weekend. The group is shooting a Caleb Bingham documentary that you're producing.
Yeah. Very early Sunday morning. So I think they're going to be welcoming spectators if anyone has nothing to do at 6:30 on Sunday morning and wants to come out and watch a movie being made, then come to Arrow Rock.
If you can't make it Sunday morning at 6:30, there's other times, as she mentioned. You can find details about the Friends of Arrow Rock on their website, friendsofarrowrock.org. Sandy, thanks for the time.
Well, thank you very much.